finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio. What's going on, everyone? It is a beautiful morning here in Boise, Idaho. We've been working on a secret project, actually. It's been really, really fun. We have people who've been flying in from massive multi-nine-figure projects, and they've been helping us, and I think they're excited, so sorry, it's as much of a hook as I can give right now. I recently submitted for my Two Comma Club Award, another one, and a Two Comma Club X Award, which I crossed that threshold several years ago. I don't know. There's a lot going on in my life. I never submitted for the award, so I'm really, really excited. No, but the Two Comma Club Award, that's actually what I wanted to talk to you guys about, because the one that I just submitted for is for affiliate commissions. $1 million in affiliate commissions. I'm really excited about that. Commissions, in my ClickFunnels accounts, there's $750,000 in affiliate commissions that I've grabbed over the years. And then, you know, I've been an affiliate for tons of other stuff, as well. And then there was also, which has brought in a lot also. I don't have the exact tally. I've asked my CPA to go help me find those numbers, but I know it's over $1 million, in commission, which is really cool. Affiliate marketing is actually where I made my first dollar. And actually for a couple of years, you know, if there was an audience that wanted, to hear about ClickFunnels, or I know they have a professional speaking team now, but for a while they would send me if there was an audience that wasn't quite big enough, or if Russell was just literally too busy, you know, and they'd give me commissions off that as well. And a lot of times I'd be pushing the product through my affiliate link on stage. So I did that for a while also. So anyway, I know I've crossed $1 million on it, so we're just pulling all that. I'm excited. $1 million in affiliate stuff. So that just blows my mind, first off. I made my first dollar online ever with affiliate marketing. And I mean, my first, real dollar. You know, there was little tiny, I created an ebook once and went out and sold it on Amazon. And I think it got two sales, and one was my mom trying to be nice. And so, you know what I mean? Like, my first real dollar, my first sales, my first list building, my first, real win was actually in affiliate marketing. I was in college, and I finally was in the class called Internet Marketing. It was the class that I was just dying to go through all of college. And when I got to it, I was just bored to freaking tears, you know. I was so bored because I'd already been in the world a while, and I was getting in fights with a few of the professors because I had finally read this guy's book called .com Secrets, and so I got in and I was like, oh man, at least I got my internet marketing class to look forward to. And I'm not bashing school at all, ever. I never will. I think it's still incredible to go to school. Depends why you're going, but still. Anyway, affiliate marketing, you know, I don't know what it's been, but over the last couple of months, I've had tons of people ask me for an affiliate marketing course, or rather if I have one. And my gut has been telling me to get out there and create an affiliate marketing course for quite a while. In fact, this has always been part of the plan. Back in 2019, I was in negotiations with ClickBank. ClickBank approached me and said, basically, you have a very unique way of doing affiliate marketing. You know, it's ClickBank, my gosh. They said, Steven, you have a very unique way of doing affiliate marketing. You know, there's a lot of crappy stuff in affiliate marketing. You know, people can push products that don't really do anything just because it sells. They can't, you know, I mean, that happens in literally every single industry on the planet. So it's not fair to just call out affiliate marketing, but there can be a lot of it, especially when you start getting like the CPA networks and stuff like that. Anyway, so ClickBank was like, could you please create a course and we'll go 50-50 on it with you. We'll push it to our entire list. We'll put you on in like a podcast circuit. We'll literally email our entire list and do a big promotion about it. And I was like, sweet. You know, it was just going to be called Affiliate Marketing Masterclass. And I was going to go halvesies with ClickBank on it. And that was right at the turn of 2019 to 2020. And it didn't happen for a couple of reasons. First of all, I could tell that I was going to go through a divorce. Things were just busy. My studio also was not done. You know, we were building it, but it wasn't done. And so, which took, longer than I thought, which is just kind of true for all construction, right? As the cliche goes. The scamdemic happened. Or the plandemic, as I also call it. And they also had just a full promotional calendar. And in true sense to my behavior last, you know, back in that time, it was always go, 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 sprint, 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 short timeline, short time. You know, so I was like, let's do it in the next quarter. And they're like, we were thinking like really to plan this out, make a huge launch around it. And anyway, so it just didn't happen. So ClickBank, or anyone who works at ClickBank, if you're listening to this, I'm still open to that deal, and that would be amazing. And I just found out I actually own affiliatehacks.com, which is freaking crazy. I didn't realize that. I own a lot of cool.coms. Anyway, so full circle, turn it back around here. You know, fast forward 5 years, and my affiliate marketing stuff, you have to know, like, I do have a very unique approach to affiliate marketing, and I really haven't spent that much money on ads, which I'm not saying is always the best move. Most of my stuff has been organic, and it's because early on I found this little trick, and it's a trick that works so well that it works so well that it often fills my funnel with traffic organically. If I do it at the right time, the timing matters like crazy, but if I do it at the right time, it tends to fill my affiliate funnels and marketing stuff organically for years. Most of the affiliate stuff I've done, I think there's been once I've actually spent money on ads. And I'm not saying that that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, you should spend money on ads if you have your own product. But I don't always want to spend money on ads for someone else's product. And I know others would disagree with me. It depends what your purpose is. And that's part of what's so unique about my approach towards affiliate marketing is my affiliate marketing promotions are not... I'm not trying to be a professional affiliate, right? What I do is I put affiliate marketing into the broader whole of my actual business. Because people have asked, and it's a fair question, why do you do affiliate marketing if you have this other stuff? And it's like... Actually, I can show you exactly why. It's one of the fastest ways for me to hijack a market. Anyway, so I'm really pumped about it. I'm pumped to share all this stuff. I'm excited to go through it. And you don't know this yet, but this is a good time to let you know. What I'm doing is this next week, I'm actually going to be filming my next. Or rather my first and really only affiliate marketing course live. I'm going to do it in front of a live audience. I'm psyched to do it. I'm so psyched to do it. It's been on my mind for so long. I've talked about doing this for years. Now, in true fashion, like, I have a super high standard for any program or course that I put out. I am absolutely a recovering perfectionist and OCD person, and I know people say it as a cliche, but it's not a joke. In fact, I had a therapist go super on to me with this. Like, you are still OCDing the crap out of yourself, which is like causing all this anxiety. Like, have a high standard, but you're doing unfair things to yourself. So anyway, I really do have an incredibly high standard for what I put out on the internet. My what I teach, world class. I'll put it up against anybody's. I have the best stuff, and might be egotistical, but part of the reason is because the process I'm literally about to tell you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach my entire process in front of a live audience, but not on stage yet. So what I do is I do it virtually, and because it always makes sense in my mind. Like, this is exactly how I came up with all the material for the dramatic demonstration book also, by the way. It was across a couple of years, and it doesn't have to take that long, right? I got other stuff going on, but I do teach without reservation the whole whatever I'm doing, like whatever I'm teaching. And I do a ton of research, and I find stories and, you know, examples of people in modern times and old times. I do a lot of research, you know. It's not just me just riffing, you know, and it's to show the principles of what I'm, you know, I'm a principles teacher more than a flash in the pan teacher. I've never really done flash in the pan stuff. So then what I go do is, while I'm teaching in front of a live audience, I'm kind of like creating a second list that basically says, hey, here's what they understood. Here's what they didn't. Here's what I thought was simple, but turns out it wasn't. Here's where I feel like more story was needed to get the point across. Here's where there was too much story. So you gotta shut up, Steve. You're saying too much. Right? Here's where this was a cool idea and actually really helped broaden people's minds, but actually didn't serve the point. So it's a cool thought, but really doesn't need to be in there, you know, and so on and so forth. And we don't know, you know, like if you come up with something, you don't know if it's actually good. You can completely sell yourself on something that you made that you believe is awesome, but that the market really doesn't care, or that is neat and interesting, but not something, you know, people would pay for. And so,
hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Anyway, so then what I do is I go back to the drawing board and I clean up everything that I said. I'll rewatch every speech that I gave
And if you're like, wow, this is a large process, and I don't know if I want to go through that. It is a large process, and it's one of the reasons why my crap is good, is this is part of my process. Usually, before I even go teach live, what I'll do is I'll take a legal pad, and I just start brain dumping every idea out onto the floor. I'll put an idea per legal pad sheet, and I'll do that for a week or two. And by the end of the week, I have piles of papers around the floor. And what I do is I color code them. And I say, hey, I'm going to use green for story. All right. So I'm like, ooh, these stories are kind of around the same idea and principle. Right. And then I'll use blue for case studies that are modern. Right. Or my own case studies. Or a lot of times I use blue for quotes. Right. Hey, here's quotes. And what I'll start to do, you know, red will be for just straight up principles. Right. It's the gold itself, but there's no story in it at all. Orange will be something else. And what I end up getting throughout the whole, you know, I'll do this for, it's really funny. If you've been following me for any amount of years at all, I've done Facebook Live showing my floor. It'll cover my entire floor. I've already done that with affiliate marketing. Papers all over the floor, you know, and what happens is I end up getting all of these. It happens naturally. I let it happen naturally. I'll usually get, you know, 5 to 12 different piles, and I just literally staple them. And those are my first slide decks. You know, I try to organize them, and then it's like my first pass at creating presentations and slide decks. That's why my stuff's so meaty. And then I'll go do it in front of a live audience. That's what I'm doing this next week, because I've already done that part. I've already done that for the affiliate marketing thing. And the reason is because Russell asked me to write a chapter in his book called Affiliate Bootcamp on my affiliate marketing approach, because it is unique. And so I've already done that part of it, but I've just always kind of like paused on the part of my process where now I go teach it live. And that's when ClickBank, again, that was all like 5 years ago. So I feel excited because now I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to keep going in this part of my process. So I'm going to go teach in front of a live audience. And the way that I do it, because I don't want it to be like the end-all be-all part of the formula yet, is I'll teach. I'm literally creating a course in front of a live audience, but because I will be selling it in the future, people can only watch it for that day. So they either have to attend it live or they have to watch it before midnight, because at midnight I delete the videos. I keep a copy for myself so I come back and rewatch it later, of course, and keep going on my process, but I delete it. And so that's it. Then the next thing I gotta go do is it's the transition into the slides, cleaning slide stuff. That usually takes a week or two, and then it's finally ready for me to go bring it on stage. Usually I'll do just a straight teaching stage workshop again, or it's not really a workshop by that point. It's really interesting to watch just how this stuff evolves. Dramatic demonstrations was no different. I did it in a live event. It wasn't a workshop. It was a live event. I did that in a live event 2 times. I did the live teaching in front of an audience at least once. I did the whole yellow pieces of paper thing all over the floor. And then I teach the core concepts so many times. And it's nuts to see what happens when you keep just like hammering on the same few principles. Now I'm like, okay, this book is going to be freaking world class. Like the dramatic demonstration book, world class, man, it's just so world class. Really, 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 really excited by it because it's been through this many iterations, and I'm so glad. I mean, one of the core aspects of the dramatic demonstrations formula didn't even come out until the last time I went on stage, and I was like, holy smokes. And it made everything simple. It made everything modern. It was no longer theory. It was like, here's the application of it. Here's how people make money with this formula today, you know? And since doing that, I have been asking, I'm blown away how many people have made, there's literally millions of dollars that have been brought in because of the dramatic demonstration formula. And I can't even tell you how proud I am of that. Well, and that's why I say, like, I got a high standard. And it's because when people just sit down and they just like come up, they're just like, here's my framework. What they're usually doing is they're actually usually coming up with a process. A process is not a framework, right? And there's nothing wrong with saying, here's my process for how I run ads or whatever, right? But the difference between a framework, frameworks are baked in principle, which means things can be changed and it still works. right? But processes, you can't really change, like, oh, I decided to do this part of the process first. If a process breaks because you do anything different, it's certainly not a framework, right? People are like, you have to follow this exactly step by step. And I know that there's value in that when people say that, but there's also some danger, right? Where, and then they call it a framework. I'm like, don't call it a framework. And this might be super nerdy, but I'm like, the difference between a process and a framework is absolutely gigantic. So anyway, it might be like, wow, Steve is psycho on this stuff. I am, and it's why my crap's good. So I'm psyched. AffiliateMarketingMasterclass.com. If you want to come learn not just how to be an affiliate, like affiliate marketing has been what has funded my business. It's also one of the reasons I never had to go get VC funding, because I'm affiliate marketing. I'm an affiliate marketer. Like when I was working for Russell, I would take little tiny amounts of money and hire some VAs. Well, the way I did that is because I was an affiliate for the very products I was helping build. And then, so crap was getting done when I was working for the man. And a lot of people ask, like, oh, I'm working for the man, I can't get out. I'm like, well, go be an affiliate. It's easier to be an affiliate and practice marketing on someone else's offer that you know is good and you know the market wants. All right, like think about the odds that you're against when you are just starting out and you've never really had an offer take out or take off, and you've never really had a, you don't really understand marketing yet. You're hoping that the offer is good. You're hoping that your marketing is good. Those are two totally different things. Those are two totally different things. All right, so that's the hard part about this game is people are brand new entrepreneurs who've never had anything take off ever. They have no basis for what actually works and sells. And they're testing. And they're testing all this marketing at the same time. So I was so grateful. There was some guy's course I took in college. He's like, hey, the benefit of being an affiliate marketer is you get to practice marketing before also gambling on the topic of offer creation as well. You know, so if you've never had an offer take off, I mean, there's a lot of reasons that could have happened, but you actually can stack more cards in your favor by practicing marketing with affiliate marketing. Does that make sense? It's easier. It's easier because you can go out and say, check it out. Like I'm going to, I'm going to take this guy's, you know, I'm going to take this person's offer that it looks like is selling really, really well. And thankfully I don't have to go gamble anything because I know this offer is selling. I'm just going to go practice getting eyeballs to it, because if somebody else is, and somebody else is making money with it and you're not, right, you're the variable. And you thankfully don't have to wonder, I wonder if the offer is good. It is good. Right, so I often call affiliate marketing as the training wheels of marketing in general. If you can't market someone else's product that is already proven, right, you're not good at marketing yet, and you definitely don't, like, why would you go build your own offer? You know what I'm saying? Unless you're planning to just sell it through other affiliates, you know, that's cool. Does that make sense what I'm saying? There's a lot of safety in it. And when, I can't remember who it was probably like 12 years ago, some dude said that to me, and I was like, and not to me directly, but in a course, and I was like, that's actually really smart. Like, yeah, go out and be the affiliate for other stuff because you know that it's actually stacking cards in your favor. And it was one of the major reasons that I started doing affiliate marketing in college, so I could literally just go through the reps of marketing as a whole, and stop gambling on entrepreneurship, you know, because again, you don't know. So anyway, I feel like I just said the same point like 14 times in a row, but that's why I love affiliates. That's why I love affiliate marketing. And that's why it's such a big deal to me. Affiliate marketing has been how I fueled and funded my business. I didn't have to get any loans or VC funding. You know, for the most part, it's been like a super, it's just a hack. It's a serious hack, man. For a while, and then I have a very unique way of promoting stuff as well, where I don't like to stop affiliate marketing simply because I'm in business now. I like to continue it so that I can, it ends up paying for like most of my cost of my business. So, especially if you get good at promoting certain products. So anyway, yeah, you guys are awesome. If you want to learn my model, part of what we're going to do is we're going to, I'm going to teach how to be an affiliate in a very unique way and how to get traffic that kind of just tends to come in forever, evergreen. But the second part of it is for those of you guys who are business owners and you're like, I'm not super interested in being an affiliate, but I want an affiliate army of my own. I will teach you how we do that as well. It's a very, very, very unique. It's so cool. I had 2,200 people sign up to be an affiliate for my offers in 2,200. I mean, think about that. Like, if you know your crap's good and sometimes you just need more voices talking about it, 2,200 affiliates signed up. Just blew my freaking mind. Anyway, they signed up. That was between 2018 and 2020. 60, 70. Yeah, in 2 years, 2,200 affiliates. Ridiculous. So if you want to learn how to build your own affiliate army, that's a really fun play as well. It's not as hard as you think. There's a little footwork in it, but, you know. In fact, it's funny. When I left my job, I asked Russell, I was like, hey, man, what's the first role you consider hiring? And he's like, the first thing I would tell you to go do is to go get an affiliate manager. I was like, that's the first role? I would have thought you said, like, assistant, you know, salesperson. He's like, no. Go get an affiliate manager. That we have another revenue-producing role in the company. And I was like, oh. You get all these voices, and it's like affiliates are cool because there's a affiliate revenueing, marketing, you know, noise cannon. So anyway, affiliatemarketingmasterclass.com. I'm excited to have you guys. I'm in my studio, if you can't tell. I drove up here. All right, you guys are awesome. And I'm going to film it for free in the moment. And so if you want to come learn that, I'll charge for the course later, but if you want to come learn it for free, affiliatemarketingmasterclass.com. Sweet, guys.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.